Christ the King Sunday. What an amazing Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the church year. We're going to start the new year of the church with the first Sunday in Advent. And in this, on this Sunday, we get to take a look at the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to take a look at Christ the King, and yet we have this kind of weird gospel lesson. Because when we think of kings, do we think of kings who are being whipped and beaten and taken to their death? Maybe if we think about the King of France. Maybe think of the last Tsar of Russia, maybe. But most of the time, we don't think of kings as going to their death. We think of kings as reigning supreme in grand palaces, in places of honor, on huge thrones with multiple guards. We don't think of kings the way Jesus served as king. We don't think of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as being the one who is on the cross dying there. And what amazes me about the story of Jesus, even though we usually have this during Good Friday and Holy Week, right? But to have it on the last Sunday, I think is brilliant in some ways, because it reminds us that when Jesus went to the cross, he did it not for his sin, but for ours. When he went to the cross, he did it to show what kind of king he is versus the type of kings we have. He went to the cross to show us that he would blow people's minds when he talked about how simple water and God's mighty word could change eternity for Mark. Isn't that awesome? You know, we think when we do things, it's kind of like we always think we got to put a big show on, right? Have you noticed this? If we think something's really important, we got to make a big show of it. I'll never forget in that movie, I know I'm dating myself, but now I forgot the name. Huh. What's the when they look, guy looking for the Ark? Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark. There you go. How did I miss that? Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark. If you remember in that story, the the guy is, why am I bringing that? What's Harrison Ford? Yeah, everybody's getting there. Yeah, I'm getting there sooner than everybody else. Harrison Ford, the actor, he's coming out and he's going down a street, and all of a sudden he meets this guy who's going to take him on, and he has a sword, and he makes this big thing about, you know, I'm coming after you, and he does all this wonderful sword work and everything, and just does this great show. And what does Harrison Ford's actor do? He pulls out a gun and shoots him. I always think it's kind of like the way God is. Now, I'm not talking about God shooting people. Please don't misunderstand me. I don't get in trouble. But what I mean is, we think that everything has to be elaborate and has to be a big show. And yet, when God does stuff, it's just so fast. Ever notice that? It's not elaborate. It's not this huge thing. It might be. Don't get me wrong. It could be. But a lot of times, God just simply does it. And he does it simply. He simply does it, and he does it simply, like using water and his word. This is eternally significant. And it's simple water and his mighty word. It's so, from a worldly perspective, it seems so dull, right? It's almost boring. And yet, from an eternal significance, from a spiritual significance, it is awesome. All of heaven is rejoicing today over Mark's adoption as a child of God. That's how amazing it is. It's the same with the Lord's Supper. He took the simple loaf at the Passover and the wine of the cup of redemption, and he said, "This is my body and this is my blood." And it has tremendous significance. It is amazing. It's the eternal gift. It has such power. And it's so simple. You see, that's the way the Lord does things. And every time I hear the story of him going to the cross, I think to myself of this wonderful old hymn. We used to sing it every Good Friday. I don't even know if it's around anymore, but we had this one lady, her name was Maria Hansen, and she never asked much, but she'd always call me in. It was like I had to have an audience with her every time before Good Friday, and she would say, "Pastor, we're going to sing 10,000 angels, aren't we?" And I would say, "Maria, we are definitely going to sing 10,000 angels, because I am not stupid. And I know that if we don't, I'm going to be in trouble." So we would sing this song, and it was called, "He Could Have Called 10,000 Angels." He could have called 10,000 angels. When Jesus was going to the cross, he chose to go to the cross. The whole point of the hymn is, he could have called 10,000 angels to set him free and declare victory. He could have called on a heavenly army to take out those Roman centurions. He could have called heaven down upon the people, but yet because of his love, he went to the cross. Because he saw eternity and he knew what needed to be done, that when we messed up in the garden, it was going to be corrected by this one and for all act. Isn't that awesome? That's how much he loved us. That's how much he loves each one of us. That's why he uses the simple water and the word to let all of heaven rejoice that Mark is a child of God, that he has a place forever if he wants it. He's gone to prepare a place for him. That's an amazing gift. And what always strikes me about this passage is when he's on the cross, he's Luke thinks this is significant enough to make mention of it, is he has these two criminals. Have you ever watched, again, I'm aging myself and I apologize to the younger people in our group. Have you ever watched the Flintstones? Okay. And the cartoon version of Fred always has two little Freds that are speaking to him. Right? One looks like the devil and one looks like an angel. And I always think, every time I used to see that as a kid, I used to think of a sermon the pastor preached on Good Friday talking, and he used that illustration. He said, you know, that's what it was like for Jesus on the cross. He had one criminal who was lashing out at him and telling him, you know, if you're really the Christ, do what the leaders are saying and chanting at you. Free yourself and us. Solve the problem. Just do it. Take care of this problem. And he wasn't saying it nicely either. And then on the other side, you got a criminal who understands the sin that he did. Who understands, like we should, that when we are born, we're born sinful. You can blame Adam and Eve, you can blame whoever you want, but the reality is we are born sinful. And so we need redemption. And we need to recognize what Jesus was doing there and be like that second criminal who says, "Jesus, remember me in your kingdom." Because we're in dark times, aren't we? School shootings. Chris was telling me we were praying for Iran because they're going through tremendous persecution in Iran. I mean, we're living in times where there's more martyrs now than there ever has been in the history of the church. We're living in dark times. It would be very easy for us to be like the criminal who was telling Jesus, "Why aren't you fixing this? If you are the Messiah, if you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what are you doing about this mess?" What does he say to Jesus? "Save yourself and us." How many times when you're in class, or how many times when you're at work, or how many times when you're in discussion with people about your faith, do they say, "Well, how can I believe in a God who allows this stuff to happen?" Don't you hear that all the time? How can I believe in this Jesus who allows people to be shot? Who allows innocents to be killed? How can I believe in a God that lets this stuff happen? Forgetting, as that criminal did, that we started this back in the garden. Before that, there was no sin. Before that, there was complete fellowship with God. Before that, there was nothing that separated us from God. But we messed it up. Now, I know it's hard in our society because we're in a wonderful country. We're in the United States of America, and we value liberty and personal freedom above everything else, right? Would you agree with me? And so it's absurd in our minds sometimes, because of our culture, to think that we would inherit punishment, sin, debt, other things from people that have gone before us. Because we like to think, at least this is what our culture says, is that we are individuals. And what we get, we deserve because we've done it, right? Isn't that what the one criminal says to the other? You know, we're getting what we deserve, right? But it's really hard in our society to let people know that that has not always been the way. Children have been born into slavery. They have been born into indentured servitude. They have been born into things that they had nothing to do with throughout history. I was talking about the Tsar, the last Tsar of Russia. His kids were killed with him, not because they had any power, but because they could be a threat, right? In the future. It's hard for us to imagine this. And so, you know, we can easily just disregard the fact that we are part of the problem. And we can just blame it all on God. We're good at blaming people. I don't know if you know this. We're pretty good at this. Maybe you are. Maybe you're better than me. But I just know, as a human being, we have a tendency to blame other people for our problems. Anybody agree with me? We always can find someone to blame. And that's basically what this criminal's doing and what we do in this time of darkness is we blame God. He blamed Jesus. He said, if you are the Christ that these leaders are saying you are, if you are the Son of God, then fix this. Solve this. Have you ever thought about it? I know what ifs are kind of a pain. I don't like them. But have you ever thought, what if Jesus had solved it for that criminal that day? What would have happened to us? We'd be lost. Think about that for a second. If he would have given, you know, I like that because some people say, I've been praying about this forever. But they never ask the question, is this what God wants for you? This is why you're not getting an answer? Because maybe this isn't right for you. Maybe he has a bigger plan for you. Maybe he knows better. Because what would have happened if Jesus would have answered basically what was a very brutal prayer for the disciple who was saying, you know, save yourself and us. Let us get off this cross, Jesus. Let us solve this right now. What would have happened from an eternal perspective? He would have not been saved. The answer to his prayer, the answer to his request, is what the second criminal understood. Is that when Jesus dies, he gets saved. And immediately, right? Because what does Jesus say? What is the words he uses? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Today. Jesus isn't bound by time as we see time. He's saying that when he's doing this saving work, the salvatory work, it's happening immediately. When he dies on the cross, all sin is forgiven, past, present, and future. He is the once and for all sacrifice. He is the necessary blood shed for us. And for that reason, both of them get their answer to prayer. Do you notice that? How many of us, we have multiple children, would like it if we could give one answer that would solve all of their desires? Because really, his request, he thinks, is to be relieved of the pain of the cross. Yet, when he's really asking, he says, save yourself and us. He's getting the answer to his prayer, isn't he? Because Jesus gave salvation. Now, I don't know if it happened to that criminal. I guess what I'm hoping, just so you understand, I'm not a universalist. I don't believe everybody goes to heaven. But I do believe that I'm hoping, anyways, that that criminal on the cross, when he saw what happened, we didn't read the whole story. When he saw what happened, when Jesus came to the point of death and he saw all the stuff that was happening, because it says that Jesus died first and that they had to break the legs of the other criminals to get them to die. And so I always hope that when he saw how Jesus died, that he was saved. Yes, I'm just an optimist. I'm hoping. Because then his prayer was answered, right? He is saved. Now the person who Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise, he was definitely saved. So brothers and sisters, when we're dealing with the world around us, let's not be like this criminal who likes to just blame God and who likes to just, you know, apologize for God. No, let's tell people the truth. Let's say, you know, why do we baptize babies? Well, because they're sinful and in need of salvation. We all need salvation. And the Lord has won it for us. And he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's not the type of king that we think of that lords power over us. But he is a king who serves us, who loves us, who died for us, who rose again for us, and has gone to prepare a place for us. Amen? That's why we celebrate Christ the King. Because he is King of love, King of grace, and King forever. Let's stand as we pray and as we receive the blessing. Lord Jesus.